Blackstone Audiobooks presents One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey. Dedication to Vic Lovell, who told me dragons did not exist, then led me to their lairs. One flew east, one flew west, one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Children's Folk Rhyme. Part 1. They're out there. Black boys in white suits up before me to commit sex acts in the hall and get it mopped up before I can catch them. They're mopping when I come out the door, all three of them sulky and hating everything, the time of day, the place they're at here, the people they gotta work around. When they hate like this, better if they don't see me. I creep along the wall quiet as dust in my canvas shoes, but they got special sensitive equipment detects my fear, and they all look up, all three at once. Eyes glittering out of the black faces like the hard glitter of radio tubes out of the back of an old radio.
Here's the chief. The super chief, fellas. Old Chief Broom. Here you go, Chief Broom.
Stick a mop in my hand and motion to the spot they aim for me to clean today, and I go. One swats the backs of my legs with a broom handle to hurry me past.
Oh, you look at him shag it. Big enough to eat apples off my head and he mind me like a baby.
They laugh, and then I hear them mumbling behind me, heads close together. Hum of black machinery, humming hate and death and other hospital secrets. They don't bother not talking out loud about their hate secrets when I'm nearby because they think I'm deaf and dumb. Everybody thinks so. I'm cagey enough to fool them that much. If my being half Indian ever helped me in any way in this dirty life, it helped me being cagey, helped me all these years. I'm mopping near the ward door when a key hits it from the other side, and I know it's the big nurse by the way the lockworks cleave to the key, soft and swift and familiar she's been around locks so long. She slides through the door with a gust of cold and locks the door behind her, and I see her fingers trail across the polished steel. Tip of each finger the same color as her lips, funny orange, like the tip of a soldering iron. Color so hot or so cold, if she touches you with it, you can't tell which. She's carrying her woven wicker bag like the ones the Umpqua tribe sells out along the hot August highway, a bag shape of a toolbox with a hemp handle. She's had it all the years I've been here. It's a loose weave, and I can see inside it. There's no compact or lipstick or woman stuff. She's got that bag full of 1,000 parts she aims to use in her duties today. Wheels and gears, cogs polished to a hard glitter, tiny pills that gleam like porcelain, needles, forceps, watchmaker's pliers, rolls of copper wire. She dips a nod at me as she goes past. I let the mop push me back to the wall and smile and try to foul her equipment up as much as possible by not letting her see my eyes. They can't tell so much about you if you got your eyes closed.